Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at Coco's. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play. We are in Lauraville. I am, I think I've had three crab cakes already, and I'm halfway through this one. We're at Coco's. I've been tearing up the tomatoes, the french fries. The mayor has left the building. Brandon Scott's off running the city right now, but we have other elected officials here. You took off your Corey McCrae, a 45th district senator mask here. You got your own masks, bro. All right.
The branding, man. The branding.
You're running for office, man. Don Moeller, of course, here, riding shotgun. Don, you made fast work of that crab cake.
That was an outstanding crab cake. The mayor and Senator McCrae saying the same thing. I mean, there are great crab cakes in this state, but I say to all my friends out there in Baltimore County particularly, if Coco's is not on your list, put it on your list. Head to Harford County. You can be here in 25, 30 minutes pretty much anywhere. It's centrally located. We are delighted to have Senator Corey McCrae. I'm thinking Coco's is smack dab in the middle of the 45th district.
That it is. You're right there in the center of it. I know because my wife, Demetria, makes me run down here every 10 days to come get crab cakes.
You've had the crab cake here before is what you're saying. Because she offered your crab cake.
All the time.
No, I already ate that. And I'm thinking to myself, man, you spoiled the turn of that crab cakes in here, man.
You know what? I bring my friends from out of town, Nestor, like bring them right there, sit at the bar, have a good time, and this is one of the best crab cakes in the state of Maryland.
One thing, I tried to do these crab cake tours at off times for restaurants, right? So I've been trying to do Friday from 2 to 5, so if you're Black Friday, next week on Friday, we're up in Abingdon on a holiday. By the way, Don said to me, you'll never get an elected official out on Black Friday. Barry Glassman, who's not even a Democrat, by the way, is going to be coming out with us. He's going to be joining us next Friday up at Conrad's, and then we're going to be at Pappas in Cockeysville after that. Getting people to come here, not hard to do. Everybody loves the crab cakes at Coco's. I've been told by I tried to get the mayor in here 8 months ago. We had mask issues. Then 6 months ago, and I should have, if you weren't so busy asking important questions, he accosted Don at an event and said, I'm doing that event on Friday. I'm going to be here on Friday. And this is after we had unrest at Fells Point. And we didn't do the show and the mask. If you finally got here. So I'm glad you're here. I've had you on a show two or three times.
I'm excited.
And I've never met you, man.
Excited, brother.
Well, tell us about this. You know, one of the things we ended with the mayor. Mm-hmm. You and I were talking off camera. Nestor hadn't seen it yet. But there's this really distressing editorial in The Sun where they reference a former Baltimore County State Senator Jim Brosian, who Johnny O beat by 17 votes in the last election. That's how close it was. And the senator evidently over the weekend went on WBAL radio to call for a boycott of county residents of Baltimore City and all Baltimore City businesses. Now, I'm sitting in this fantastic, iconic Coco's in the middle of your district. As a state elected official, as someone who loves this city and loves its regional connections, when you read that and hear that, give us a personal reaction on your part.
It's probably dog whistling at its best. I think about, you know, being born and raised in this city, going to high school in the city. Don, not just being born and raised here, but staying here, raising four kids, Kennedy, Reagan, and CJ. I know the amenities and great assets, the neighborhoods within the city of Baltimore. I know that we have the structures, the anchors, the foundations, such as Coco's right here, that bring out the best in Baltimore City. And I think that every one of my colleagues know that's currently in the legislature that we're One Maryland. I think that my folks in Baltimore County, Howard County, Anne Arundel County know that we're the Baltimore region, and we only move together. It's no way that we can isolate ourselves on these tiny islands and think that we're going to move forward. We have to move forward as a state. We have to move forward as a region. It's common sense politics. The ones that get it know. I talk to Johnny O all the time. I talk to my colleagues in this county all the time and partner with them all the time. Because when you're talking about transit, when you're talking about housing, when you're talking about a number of the things across the state. And you got to think, we have so many great amenities. You have the National Aquarium. You have Port Discovery. You have two stadiums. You have the finest hospitals in reference to medical care.
Incredible
right
art galleries.
The Baltimore Museum of Art, the Walters Art Gallery, the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum, Reginald F. Lewis Museum.
And we're not going to come to any of that anymore if we live in Parkville, because it's a city.
I mean, that's
stupid.
It doesn't make any sense. You do, and as the son pointed out, unfortunately, now, again, we know the target audience for that message, and evidently a number of them call and say, well, I wouldn't go down there. And that gets me to this neighborhood. The mayor alluded to it. There was another interesting article, Senator, talked about the census and people. The big picture story of the city is that it lost a significant number of residents again. But when you drill down, there are neighborhoods all throughout the city that are growing significantly. As the mayor pointed out, this is one of them. Mm-hmm. And we walk these streets. We parked up the hill here. This neighborhood is pristine.
Mm-hmm.
So my
Montebello
question...
Montebello right over there.
Question for you is a tough one, I think. What is it that's allowing this neighborhood to be a place that anyone, as diverse as it can be, would be happy to live and raise a family that's more challenging in other neighborhoods?
I think that there are a number of differences. So you looked at the parks. So you looked at Herm Run Park right there and the great asset, whether you're riding your bike, whether you're walking, whether you're dogging, walking your dog, whatever it is, it's just a very great amenity to have right next door to you. You think about the ability to get on 895, 695, or 95 within minutes if you live within this space is one of the things. You think about the yard. You think about the homes. Everything is walkable. You have a number of bookstores. You have a number of coffee shops. You have Coco's. You have so many walkable amenities that's right there, and that's how every community should look, and that's what we have to be going for, making these walkable communities so that folks feel good. And also schools. So my daughter's school is right up the street, Hamilton Elementary Middle. When Maryland has a 5-star system, it's a 4-star school. So like, you have to have these assets within
now,
these
again,
neighborhoods.
But I want to stop you. That's a powerful point, because Nestor knows, and Nestor went to his childhood elementary last week. Baltimore County just built a brand new Colgate Elementary. Mm. Nestor cried 4 or 5 times. Mm. We know his son said something very significant.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, I was thinking about moving, but I'm not going to move now. This elementary school, this makes our whole community better. So I'm going to come to you again. What makes your daughter, you said,
yep,
is in the school?
Yep.
What makes your daughter's school a 4-star school and a couple of miles away a school that's not a 4-star school? Tell me as a parent.
So I'm going to tell you, like, what makes good schools and what makes good everything. So, like, I think that you all agree. First is leadership. So I'm going to give you 2 schools. I'm going to give you Hamilton Elementary Middle that had Dr. Drummond for about 11 years as the principal and the leadership. And I'm going to give you Tench Tillman, right there in the middle of the hood, and all the social issues that you can think of. But Principal Samuels is doing the same thing. 2 4-star schools. We don't have that many 4-star schools in the city of Baltimore. So, like, when you look at right there in the heart of East Baltimore, right there off of Monument Street, right there at Tench Tillman, and then you look at Hamilton, and you look at the income differences. You look at the vacancies that's happening. It is strictly the leadership and my ability. If our North Avenue, if our school system can cultivate the leadership of their principals and get consistent leadership. Both of them were there for double digits. Principal Samuels, 13 years. Dr. Drummond, for 11 years. We just got a new principal over at Hamilton, so we got Principal Pouncey. And eventually, Principal Samuels isn't going to, like, die there. So, like, eventually she's going to leave, but you have to have that consistent continuity and real leadership, because people stay around real leaders. They feel an obligation around real leaders, and then you can get the parent base and things that I need.
So real leaders make people feel vested. They make people feel involved.
I tell the story, Senator. It's so interesting that you mentioned that. And I'm not going to mention the name, because I don't think it would be fair, of the school that I used as an example. But I had a superintendent call me one time when they were working on trying to make all schools the same quality as the one your daughter goes to. And I was fortunate. I worked in a very high-performing high school, mm-hmm, at Catonsville High School.
Mm-hmm.
And the superintendent said, I want you to informally conduct a survey for me. I want you to ask people, if we give them a bonus, would they transfer from school, from where you are, to school X and put a number on it? And I would tell you that 5,000, they didn't even think about it. 10, no. Got to 15, they'd say, maybe. But here's what they always said. Even for that amount, Don, you've got to tell me who the principal is going to be first. And I called the superintendent, and I said, I've solved your mystery. It's not dollars. It's the leadership. They want to know that if they go to that school and try to deliver a world-class education, that they're going to have a superstar principal who's going to be with them every step of the way. I'm hoping the Kerwin Oversight Accountability Board.
Every teacher would know that, right? You knew that the first year you were a teacher, that whoever's – I'm a baseball fan. Like we argue about ownership. Whoever's sitting in that chair – tell us about your area. You know, because your area is unique, and you served in different capacities.
Yep. Yep. So,
for different offices.
I just want to make sure that folks know my boundaries. My boundaries: northern is Northern Parkway, southern is Mount Vernon Station North Hopkins, east is Pulaski Highway, and west is Hoffa Road. So for folks from Baltimore, I got the Bel Air Road and Hoffa Road corridors, and everything down the hill for the most part is in my district.
That is a wide variety of people.
Very wide
places.
Very different. If you go to one. If you on the National Great Blacks Wax Museum where you Broadway and North Avenue, it looks a little bit different to Station North at Maryland and North Avenue. But, you know, the reality is that we're a city of neighborhoods, so we have a number of things collectively going on. You see umbrella organizations kind of come together to pull us together. I think about, we were just talking about public safety when I was on the show last. I think education is one of the most important things. And then as this infrastructure dollars are coming in from the federal government, I think about, are we ready, Don?
What's going to happen? Ready, how do you use this money?
So what do we think about? So first, we know that the Baltimore region has been neglected from a transportation standpoint.
Well, I'm very clear on the potholes,
And just for like people move to urban jurisdictions, growing cities, because they can move very fluidly through that urban jurisdiction, through that city. So those are the ones
that's why I live downtown. Thriving.
Exactly. So like that's not happening because of the red line challenges, because of the number. The bus system is like a suited up bus system that has a number of problems. We're hearing about mobility at this moment. And, like, that's challenging, and that's challenging for the growth of our city. So from
a job. You got to get there on time.
You have to get there on time. And maybe it's your medicine. Maybe you're a senior that need to get a medicine. Our young people in the city of Baltimore are unique than the other 23 jurisdictions. They catch the bus to go to schools. So, like, we have to make sure that our transportation system is running in the right direction. I think that the infrastructure dollars will be able to help with that, Nestor, because as we're focusing on other things, we can move those pots of money to where we really, really need that help at, to where we really need those dollars.
If I gave you unlimited blank check right now for your community, would it be schools, crime, play? What would it be?
Oh, my God. It would definitely be public safety. It would be schools. It would be transportation is the things that I think that would drive us in that.
You're a politician. I call it crime. You call it public safety. That's fine. Last time we got together, we talked about that.
Yep.
This is the headline today. I sit here with the mayor. You exchange pleasantries with the mayor. Mm-hmm. I booked the mayor 6 months ago. There's been murder since then. There's been this, that, But this week, this issue with this beautiful woman who was murdered in her church, obviously a priest. I mean, when these things hit the headline, this is how we wind up on the national news, when these type of incidents happen. And I think they're hard to unroll from if you live in Randallstown and you think you're going to come down to a ball game or come to Coco's. What you're hearing, the media creates that message. Yep, they do. Yep. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
It's tough because that was actually my neighbor. I knew her. So, like, I knew the family. I sat in church. Like, that was when I went to Southern Baptist, that was who I sat next to. Ms. Finch and her mother, Evelyn. So, like, I know, like, it's different when you know them. Like, it's a different hit. It's a different gut punch when you know them. And when I say that she didn't bother nobody, if you knew the coolest old woman, sometimes your grandmother will nag you. That was not Ms. Evelyn. Like, she was just so cool. Her swagger was there. And just a great, great individual from that standpoint. So, like, it hits in a different way.
Even more heartbreaking hearing you talk about
it. It hits in a different way. And like you said, she was just a beautiful woman. I think that every day that I wake up, Nestor, I'm thinking about how do I make it safer, because that's how we're going to grow our city. How do I make it safer and create more educational opportunities, whether it's K-12, whether it's higher education, whether it's the economic development on a number of our corridors. And that's what the big puzzle that I'm trying to figure out. I'm doing that through whether it's capital projects in our state budget. I'm doing that whether it's from a policy standpoint that drives things to our arts and culture institutions. Like, I'm trying my best to figure that puzzle out and do it in collaboration with our mayor. I overlap with six council people, so always doing that with our council people.
Just six.
Our council president. Just six. So just trying our best, especially as a senator, you're like the leader of that respective area, trying to move everybody in one jurisdiction. And I feel like I was talking to our former mayor, Mad Jack Young, and I was like, Jack, how do you feel about East Baltimore right now? He said, Corey, I feel like we're moving in the right direction. I can see EBDI in that moving in the right flow.
Tell folks what that is.
So that's it's been going on for 15, 20 years, but it's where they took 88 acres in the center of East Baltimore and kind of tried to redevelop it from a housing standpoint. From we got Henderson Hopkins, where we got Peter Cannon down there at the school standpoint. You have a $4 million park that stretches four blocks, but you saw the trajectory of that space change over the last 15 years, and it's totally different from that standpoint. On this Hoffa Road corridor, I got a partner in Sam Polakoff who's done stuff. He got this thing called Soha. Southern and Hoffa Road, you'll see a co-working space, a bookstore. Zeke's Coffee moved up there. You see some housing where they've done these verticals where it's not just housing, but it's actually retail on the bottom.
And it becomes,
you see,
a community.
It becomes a very walkable community. Let's be clear. You've got phenomenal dining options up and down this Hoffa Road corridor. My little sister represents like the Bel Air Road area in the city council, and just working with her to figure out how do we do stuff about Bel Air Edison, how do we do stuff about Sedmont, Sedonia, Glenmount, Waltherson, and those ones that stretch up and down that Bel Air Road corridor. Where the mayor lives. I'm working with Ellen Jane over there in Station North. I think that she is a phenomenal leader, trying her best to make sure that we push in the right direction. I'm working with Kennedy Krieger from the Gompers building right there at the intersection of Broadway and North Avenue. Such a large swath of land that once it gets developed, we put more feet on the street, more visibility. It helps public safety, but it also gets spending dollars.
So you say Broadway and North, I call that Sears.
Well, Sears like Hartford and North Avenue. So you're like right there.
Senator, I'm assuming, and here's where I think Democrats often fall down on the message.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that in the midst of all the nonprofit contributions and the business contributions and the focus on the social issues,
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that you also think that bad guys and gals shouldn't be terrorizing the streets of our cities,
mm-hmm.
making people afraid, right? In other words, you know, there some people who are breaking the law need to be arrested, right? And why are Democrats so reluctant to stand up? Is it because of the history of the police abuse and they're afraid that it emboldens
Democrat.
That?
I don't like crime. I don't like crime.
So let me be very, very clear. I talk about public safety all the time, and it's a significant amount that occupies my time. I meet with both of our colonels, our colonel and our lieutenant colonels, on a weekly, bi-weekly basis. So Colonel Jones, Colonel Worley, talking about each and every homicide that I have, every non-fatal shooting, and getting an understanding of whether we're going to catch the victim, what evidence do we have, and, like, where did it have in case we have to move different resources from that standpoint. I have a meeting 7:30 in the morning with Secretary Green from Department of Corrections. So like, I'm meeting with each and every agency from a state. I'm meeting with our local folks to make sure that I have a clear understanding. If you ask me any specific number or any different driver within that northeastern or eastern district, because it's almost like homework for me, I'm always thinking about that on a consistent basis and how do we press resources in those areas, whether it's state, city, or federal, from that standpoint. And then these things indirectly that folks don't think mess with public safety, but it do. So let's think about, I wrote an op-ed in the Sun about the Medicare Advantage program and how Hopkins was removing themselves out of Baltimore City and Calvert County. I then said that that was unfair. Like, if you're targeting Baltimore and we've already lost in population, you talked about that, why would you give anybody else another incentive? That's going to affect us from public safety indirectly. The more people that leave the city, the more eyes you can't see in reference to reporting crime, seeing crime, or protecting other people from that standpoint. We have to be thinking about all these things and be on all fronts, making sure we're protecting the city. There's a police effort. There's a K-12 effort. There's a higher education effort.
It all goes together. But you agree that part of it is the police enforcement area. I mean, I think Democrats get painted with this brush that they just think criminals should be walking up and down the street. And that, to me, is not what Democrats believe at all.
That's not the case. Yep.
Senator Cory McCray's here. We're at Coco's. Three-quarters of the way through the crab cake. I'll eat the rest of this next week. And we have Marcella here. Mike Resigliano's here, longtime sports cartoonist. Ruff and Bell from Cop and our partners are going to be talking some sports. But you doing any electrician work? I might need an electrician down my place. I mean, you find time to like do your original vocation? You're a gifted guy.
Yep. So folks that don't know, I went through a five-year apprenticeship program with the International Brotherhood of Electric Workers, and I'm an electrician by trade. So that's what Nestor's talking about.
I need help. I got a ballast issue right now.
Let me be clear. Nobody's coming in Cory McCray's house and hanging a ceiling fan, putting up a doorbell, replacing the outlet.
Oh man,
of that nature.
You're invaluable. Hey, before we let you run,
not as a center. He's like Schneider. From you know,
that's it.
One day at a time.
One day at a time. Before we let you run, redistricting is going to take up a lot of your time.
Very much so.
A lot of General Assembly's time. What's your goal? Big picture goal when you look at redistricting?
I think that if the city can figure out a pathway to be able to make sure that we walk away with 5 senators and 15 delegates,
Tell people what that's compared to now.
Currently, we have 5 1/4. So, like, we have 6 senators and we have 16 delegates. I think that if we can at least move in a direction to where we have 5 and 15, I think that we will be in a good place. But we have to have that real tough conversation about growing our city, and that has to be on the tongue of each and every elected official, each and every leader, because the less population, the less resources.
The tough one on that seems to me, Senator, and actually we ran out of time, I wanted to get to that with the mayor, is this whole, it's not the magic bullet, so to speak, or the magic ticket, but the disparity between property taxes in Baltimore and the surrounding, in other words, one of these beautiful homes up this street here where Coco's is, if I move that home just a few blocks, that property tax bill is going to be about half of what it is here. Mm-hmm. How do you address, as an elected official, and take a hard look at property taxes, knowing that you also have a revenue issue? It's a tough one.
Very much so. Don, I would say that people will pay the dollars if you're delivering the service. So if they're getting inadequate service, they're always going to be thinking about, why am I paying this amount when I could be getting it from there? So you have to figure out, how do you deliver exemplary leadership services, whether that's trash pickup, whether that's walkable streets, whether that's the potholes. But folks feel, when they feel as though they're getting a premium, because we do it all the time for mortgages or for rents, we'll pay that premium if the amenities are there. And that's what we have to do. We have to sell our city and make sure that we're moving in the right direction. And I say that and say, how can elected officials do that? Just make sure you answer your email on a consistent basis and don't get back to somebody in 7 days. Get back to them in less than 24 hours.
By the way, Eric Costello is guilty of that. He have been chasing each other. He texted me 1:30 in the morning, and literally last night, because we've been trying to get him on a show, and he's like, I'm just getting my texts. I'm sorry to text you. 1:21 in the morning he texted me.
Yep, be responsive.
But at least he's answering, and I'm thinking, dude, you must be overwhelmed.
Be,
you
know, responsive. I mean? And the little things. People don't think about the little things. We got this nice Natasha's Brittle. It's like a brittle that she makes right up there on Hoffa Road. What? But she was having a tough time from a permitting stand thing. Don, I will hold her hand and walk her to Jason Hessler and say, Jason, help me figure this out.
Put her in business.
Small business owner that's trying to expand her business, doing great, taking over another space, and we have to make sure as a city that we're very accommodating, because this is the lifeline. So that's the level that the elected officials have to do. If you have the price is at this far, you better be delivering the level of service that
make government, I won't even make it about the city, make government work for people.
Yep.
Not, you know, not that old joke because, oh yeah, I'm here from the government, here to help you, but truly make it say what I am here, the government, and I am here to help you, let's make it happen.
Yep.
Senator Cory McCray, thanks for stopping by.
Marcella, I taste some black pepper in this. I'm getting to the end of it. I'm right at the bottom here. I crush that tomato. I told her, that's what my mom did. My mom would cut tomatoes when she served.
Hey, show people again what it looks like when it comes out.
This is unbelievable. This is yours, by the way.
Dinner.
This isn't the appropriate way to serve a tomato and a crab. This is legitimate here, East Baltimore. And by the way, call it East Baltimore Crab Cake. East Baltimore Crab Cake has more Old Bay. This is not an Old Bay forward recipe. I've had some. This is more of that sweet Angelina style.
She's still not giving you the recipe. No matter how much sweet talk you come up with.
I'll come back. That's
you ain't getting the recipe.
It's really nice to meet you, man.
Always good,
brother. You've become one of my favorite elected officials.
Senators, thank you.
What's on your mind. I appreciate where your heart is in serving the people of
Yep, I love my city.
There you go.
Our city.
Thank you, Senator.
Our city.
Thank you.
Our city.
That Baltimore positive, right?
There it is.
There. Don Mueller, former Baltimore County Executive. We are at Coco's. We're eating crab cakes. Letting ourselves play with the Maryland Lottery. Mike Rossigliano is here. I'm in his neighborhood. We're going to talk about Herring Run and Eastwood Drive and Tyndale, where I grew up. Ruffin Bell's here from Coppin. We are the voice of Coppin. If you're putting us on day and night and hearing some Coppin sports, it's because we're the flagship at WNST. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, back for more from Coco's on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play.